It's Thursday, November 21st, 2013, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games, and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to Episode 38, Punching Stuff. Runtime for this episode is 58 minutes. Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast where we don't have themed names. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Whiskey Tift.
And I'm Zach. Why are you Whiskey Tift now?
Because I've got the theme to name.
No, you don't. The theme is your own theme that isn't our theme.
It is Irish. Just a wee bit.
I can't actually do any accents, which made me immensely happy for a game I'm starting up for Only War. They come from an aggro roll, which means my accent, the only one I can do, is relevant.
What is your accent? Southern drawl?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you were there when Cody mentioned all of my games take place in the South.
The Deep South, specifically.
You see, that accent is all about how you hold your mouth. If you hold your mouth in the right way, you can get a pretty good accent of any variety, so long as you have watched the person speak enough.
I'm sure you can, but I've never really been interested in doing that too much there.
Well, I also did theater for 4 years. Money well spent.
I didn't know you did theater.
Yeah, totally. I was like in a play in high school and stuff.
I never went and saw any plays in high school.
Neither did I.
Nobody I liked was in the...
Despite having an award-winning theater department at our school.
Yep.
Okay, how much interaction did I have with the school after hours?
You're saying this like it's defense. How much culture do I actually consume?
Exactly.
Well, like, culture or cultures of things? Because I do a lot of the latter, so...
Diseases don't count.
Oh. What if the disease is society? Because culture forms society. Therefore, you're consuming culture.
Therefore, what have you been playing?
Odin's Sphere!
Did you finish that yet?
No, it's a long damn game!
Is it the game that never ends?
Oh, no, it's close to ending, I think. There are 7 stars. I have 5 of them lit up right now, so...
Why is it always stars?
Don't you want some sweet stars?
I'd like a galaxy.
Wait, what?
Or, you know what? I would make a game that had a scoring system not based on stars, but based on black holes.
I've actually played a game that does that, but I can't for the life of me remember what it is offhand. I think it was a Flash game that involved gravity manipulation, so the black holes were, like, thematic. Well, you could do, like, circles.
Squares. You could do tetrahedrons!
You could do abstract shapes so that you can't actually draw.
How do you make this a reward, then?
I don't know.
You can make Cthulhu triangles that look acute but behave as though they're obtuse.
And they make you insane by looking at them.
Usually you just run at them, and because they look acute, you think you're fine, but they behave like they're obtuse, so you fall into them.
So acute.
So, Tyler, what have you been playing?
Other than Odin's Sphere, not a whole lot. I did a little bit more Minecraft. We have our entire...
I should get on that server.
Indeed, it's up all the time.
We forgot to mention our sweet Tower of Pimps. Is that still there, or was it...
Oh, no,
did Edcast transform into railway equipment?
We were pretty close, but I went on a mining expedition and found all the gold. But, no, the Tower of Pimps is still there, except it is now topped with a jack-o'-lantern, and it is even pimpier than it was before, so...
Sweet.
It's pretty sweet. We have the full railway system complete, with powered rails and everything. Okay, last time I checked, we were, like, maybe a quarter away from reaching the other end. But we have, like, a sweet sky castle now.
Ah, sweet.
And it's got, like, a supply depot and stuff.
I should go to your sky castle and build, like, a gothy basement and not let you guys in.
Does your supply depot retract?
Okay, I see what you went for there. No, it does not. It's really hard to make moving parts in Minecraft. It's kind of sad, actually.
You can move them, like, one block pretty easily. More than that is a huge pain.
Yeah, it gets exponentially more difficult the more you want to move stuff.
I could do
gravel.
A supply depot that went down, but I could not do one that then went back up again.
Ed actually had this excellent mechanism for a door that sinks into the ground. So it works like a sliding door out of Star Trek or something that, like, moves aside and it goes bloop, bloop, and it moves back. It's pretty cool. Although Ed makes ridiculous redstone circuitry.
I've done that before with a library where I had, like, books, and I flipped a switch, and there was a secret door!
Well, he's also fond of taking advantage of a glitch with stairs, where there's, like, a small square that you can click on through, even though there's a stair there. So it's not translucent, but it is immaterial at that point, so he puts levers right behind it, so you can't actually see the lever. but then clicking the lever retracts the stair that you had to click through to get to the lever.
I see.
Anyway, yeah, so I played a little bit of Minecraft. We finished an awesome rail. We got the reward for going way too far on a rail.
Yeah.
And, like I said, Odin Sphere. That's really pretty much it. I haven't had a whole lot of time for games this week, so.
Yeah, sadly neither have I. I've been playing Hearthstone because, yeah, Hearthstone! I'm in Gold League!
Oh man, some guy at work was playing that yesterday.
Yeah.
I walked by and I'm like, are you playing Hearthstone? And he's like, I'm on break.
Are you going to sign up for the Heroes of the Storm?
Maybe. We'll see.
I've been thinking about it, too.
I don't have a working mouse.
Yeah, that does kind of shoot that in the foot.
It's Blizzard's MOBA.
Okay.
Where you can play Sarah Kerrigan and also Sarah Kerrigan.
They have a pretty awesome trailer.
Also, Jim Raynor?
Yeah.
He should probably
and
be
Diablo.
In that.
Yeah. The trailer is Raynor, Tyrael, and Nova against Kerrigan, Diablo, and the Lich King. And somehow, Raynor pairs off with the Lord of Terror.
Obviously.
I'm not sure how this is fair.
See, I feel like Blizzard has enough brand recognition to leverage that, but I feel like it's better if you're also a WoW player, because they're all, like, the NPC givers. Oh man, I want Leroy Jenkins to be in that.
He's in Hearthstone.
But is he a playable character in their MOBA?
I don't know. We'll see.
All we know about their MOBA right now is it exists. And those six characters are probably playable.
And given that it's developed by Blizzard, it's probably going to be better than the awful Lord of the Rings MOBA.
I have a hard time imagining it could be worse. There's also the DC MOBA that I got more beta keys to. I considered giving away on this podcast. But then I read the NDA and I'm not allowed to give them away. To people I don't know.
Well, you know them if they contact
That's
you
true.
Through our private pod. Yeah, I don't know. Most of the people who listen to the podcast know us anyway, so.
So if you want a beta key to the DC MOBA I'm not allowed to talk about, send us an email and I'll make up a contest for you. It may be go to my Amazon wish list and buy me a thing.
Because
Park Adventurer, you must travel to thewildamazon.com. Take this machete, it'll help. Once you're there, locate my wish list, retrieve an object from it, and ship it to my house with between 4 and 8 days. And I will bequeath unto you this beta key. You can play as Harley Quinn now.
I thought you weren't allowed to talk about it.
I'm not.
Well, he's not talking about it. It's a DC MOBA that we know nothing about. We don't know its name. We don't know how good it is, if it is at all.
Yeah.
I mean, we do, but we don't, so.
It's like League of Legends, but it's got Batman, and you would think that would be the best thing ever. You would think. It's actually got, like, 6 Batmans now. So you would think it would be, like, a 6x score multiplier.
What?
You would think.
Is Arm Fall Off Boy in there?
Not yet. Neither is Superman. And seriously, what the hell, WB Games? What the hell?
Oh. Okay, well, that tells me everything I need to know about that game
WB
right there.
WB Games?
Yeah. I didn't know that they were still a game studio. I guess it's WB and therefore they have all the money.
They also made the Lord of the Rings MOBA that I've expressed my opinions on.
So we know they have a reputation for quality.
And Gotham Imposters, a game in which you play people dressed as Batman shooting other people with shotguns.
Why is that a thing?
Science? So I've been playing Hearthstone. It's fun. It's great. It's supposed to go into open beta in December.
I feel like we should call that Gamma or something. Well, say we have alpha, beta, open beta, like...
And then full release.
Yeah, they're like super late beta. Like, I feel like we need to implement more Greek characters.
I mean, the only difference is between open beta and release is that in open beta, they reserve the right to change all the cards if they find they're overpowered.
Well, there are some things that are out that are technically listed as betas. Like, I think League of Legends is technically listed
as
a beta.
League of Legends is released. League of Legends isn't in beta. It's been released for like 3 years. It had a beta. I think Minecraft might still technically be in beta, or when they launched version 1, was it actually...
Yeah, they officially launched it whenever they launched the Xbox version.
I remember him saying, okay, you guys can stop saying you're not allowed to rate my game because it's not done yet. That's basically why I'm releasing it.
One of the things on like the message board said something about a beta community environment or something.
There's the public beta environment like WoW has, where they have a second server that has the next patch on it for testing.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Yeah, the only other game I can think of that two of the games I really want to play are still technically in beta.
Oh?
MechWarrior Tactics, which is the
the free MMO,
it's not an MMO.
But it's like the tabletop.
Oh, okay.
Where you have hexes and all that fun stuff. Which, watching the grudge match between Day 9 and Husky was a lot of fun, because I'm like, I know what those mechs are! No, Husky, don't get close to the Hunchback!
It bites and steals your gypsy women!
And then... A Hunchback carries the biggest gun, and one of the biggest guns in that game.
And also rings the bells.
The other one is the MechWarrior Online.
Okay,
which
is that the one I was thinking of? Okay.
I downloaded the client for it, I made an account, and that's when I found out that my laptop uses an integrated graphics card and therefore couldn't run it.
I got Magicka, even though it said you can't run this on integrated graphics cards. I'm like, I played other games that said you can't do that, and then I downloaded Magicka, and it's like, guess what? I don't work. I'm like, oh, but yeah. Magicka.
It literally said, I will not run, so here's the finger, and I'm like, oh. That makes me sad, because I really wanted to play this game.
I do say, chap, I shall not work on your computer. The open beta thing and paid beta are super common now, probably because of Minecraft being the most successful thing ever since Christianity.
To be fair, Minecraft was, like, a good game. A lot of the games that are doing that now are less good games.
Well, yes, but you can't just create a good game out of thin air. You can steal a business model.
Well, that's the point of the beta in general, is we know we have a product we think we can get to people, but we need help making it better.
And we don't want to spend the money on actual testers. So let's give it to these people.
Well, some people might have a little bit less money to spend if it's like a smaller company or something.
Well, that's why I'm such a huge fan of Kickstarters in general, is because basically you find your target market and say, hey, target market, would you like us to make this game? And they throw money at you, and then you make the game.
Well, the open beta thing, though, gets rid of the Blizzard. When is this game I want to throw money at coming out, goddammit? Because you can go throw money at it already, even though it's not done. And it also, I think it's, we were already doing stuff where games were coming out with day one patches, and, like, Civ 5 wasn't a good game until patch number 10. This is a way of doing that without getting the bad press, because you haven't actually launched.
So I'm a big fan of, I guess, like, iterative release anyway. I think the more we switch to digital distribution, I think the more common this will become, and I think that's a good thing. That means we can make good games better or bad games tolerable. So
there's some games that you cannot save.
Oh, probably
not.
Let's
be honest. There's some out there that you cannot save.
But
though there are several that are made better, and I've used my experiences in the Call of Duty 4 beta to explain why they should have done it in the later games. Because there were a lot of bugs and stuff.
Did they not beta the later games?
They didn't
open beta them. Call of Duty 4 was open beta. They worked out a lot of the problems that the game had before they sent it out for everyone to experience. So you didn't have problems like the shotgun that had longer range than the sniper rifle.
Yeah, or details.
The worst one was the javelin sticky bomb.
Oh yeah, you were telling me about how everyone and their mother was using that.
Well, it wasn't everyone. It just felt like everyone, because, like, all right, there's a guy over there with a javelin. I either got to shoot him way over there, or he's going to run up and knife me, and if I shoot him when he gets too close, he's going to blow up and kill everyone. The pinnacle of war technologies is a
RPG strap your back?
No, it's a 12-inch piece of steel. It's the only guaranteed one-hit kill weapon in the game.
Why do you think katanas are so deadly? They're like those, but they're like 5 times longer.
I kind of figured with a bladed weapon, you got a diminishing return the longer it was.
Well, it's kind of like the inverse ninja law. I was going to say, with the Minecraft release, it was a checkpoint. It's a new show that Penny Arcade TV hosts that's done by the people who do Loading Ready Run.
Yeah.
But they gave their official review of Minecraft when it launched, saying, because Notch said you can review it now, and they're like, it's Minecraft. You've already played Minecraft. You know what that game is.
It's where the Penny Arcade TV is slowly getting all of the escapist's talent. Now the escapist has become a terrible IGN clone instead of the only place that's worth going for gaming journalism.
I don't think this is a bad thing, though. I mean, Tycho and Gabe are already building a not terribly douchey empire anyway, so.
It depends. There are bigger douches than a lot of people.
Yeah, but they're jovial about it, and
yes,
it's better if you laugh, so.
That's true. I played a little League of Legends, not much, this week. Big changes coming, gotta get ready.
Oh? What are the big changes?
Jargony. I mean, I don't know how to explain them to someone who isn't at least somewhat familiar with
League
of Legends.
Enough.
Which means
pink
neither
wards
of us
aren't invisible anymore. You can only have 3 wards per player.
That makes sense to me. I know what wards do, kind of, in that game.
Why
so
are they making the pink wards not invisible?
They want them to force tactical battles.
So if you, know
if you
the
put
words
a pink
there.
Ward, someone can come by and kill it, so you have to defend it or give it up.
On the other hand, they'll also avoid it if they can't destroy
well,
it by
all
themselves.
All the pink wards do is reveal invisible things.
Oh, okay.
Well, and non-invisible things.
Oh, do they reveal both? I've not bought any wards. I'm still that bad. I thought the way you said it before was that they didn't reveal... They only revealed invisible things.
That's the only difference between them and regular wards. And the 50 gold cost. They're giving everybody free trinkets.
Okay.
And even I'm not clear on the details exactly. I feel like there was one other big... Oh, they're adding a camp to the jungle. See?
Why?
So junglers can stay there longer?
Yeah, do they think that junglers need anti-nerf? What is the opposite of nerfing? Buffing, I guess?
This is a buff specifically to junglers who want a lot of money. They think it will encourage a bigger champion pool for the jungle. That is their goal.
Fair enough.
We'll see whether or not it succeeds. And they're adding items that cause stuns to scale.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
So, like, make stuns last longer and such?
Yeah.
Based on, like, relative amount of damage or level or
something?
It's not
clear at all. Some pros have gotten to play with it, but they've been the developers have been very coy about the specifics.
That seems odd. I'm not sure why you would do that. But then again, I'm not very coy about anything in reality, so...
They don't want to scare people off and get a bunch of angry comments. Also, they, like, posted, like, a 5-paragraph essay on their goals for all the changes. And it was very thesis statement-y with everything and not giving specifics yet. It was very PR-driven.
Well, definitely got to give them credit. They do give you context for why they're doing things.
Yeah, most of the time.
Which is better than a lot of companies who just say, we're changing deal with it, so...
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's something else. I've been starting our next game because I'm totes excited for it, but I'll just tease that. Oh, my brother was over for the weekend, so we played a lot of Brawl. I haven't played much Smash Bros. Lately. We also played the X-Men game.
Oh, man. So I saw a video recently called the Blue Falcon 30. It was on Halo's recently. That was a hack for Brawl that gave the Captain Falcon Super Smash a bunch of different animations. There's one of them where you're like, it's just giant and Falcon punches down the road.
Yes.
There's one where he's running in the Blue Falcon, like one of the Flintstones mobiles.
Is it complete with sound effect? Yes.
There's one where he's riding the King of Red Lions down a waterfall into them.
That seems to be Link's special.
It's pretty awesome. There's one where he turns into Ganon. And
of course!
Although Captain Falcon is basically a running meme. He runs pretty quickly, so he generates a lot of memes.
Zach, what have you been playing?
You're welcome.
Well, I've been playing a lot of Grid 2, which is a racing game. Big surprise. Made by the guys who made Grid. Again, another big surprise.
Is it a grid-based, hex-based racing game?
No.
That would be
why
awesome.
Not?
Oh, you guys don't read Nerf Now, do you?
No.
He had one recently about like colonies or something. It was some like one of those random sidebar browser ads. And it's like a hex-based strategy game. He's like, wait, what is this? What's all this fan service? I wanted a strategy game. Goddamn companies taking advantage of my nerdy desire for strategy games to sell me their softcore porn.
What is it with all the like banner ads for games like males only?
Yeah, warning,
like, it's
males
so,
only.
Are they marketing that to some sort of like hypersex 16-year-old?
Yeah.
Like 18 plus only. It's like, you're only going to get people who are like 16.
They don't
That's
have any
strategy.
Money.
That's their strategy.
16-year-olds don't have credit cards.
But their parents do.
But then they'd have to tell their parents they were buying the porn game, and... me, I'm no understanding.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Anyway.
Also, they're always flat-chested drow chicks, and I don't know who's into that, but the
I don't
answer
know.
Is not me.
I've seen a fair number of them that are rather busty paladin chicks, so...
See, I understand who's into that.
Males.
Maybe Google's ad software just doesn't understand my type.
I really want that to be a configurable search setting for Google.
You don't understand my type?
No, configuring your type for
C-cup
Google.
C-cup plus only. Blonder head. Exotic eye color a plus.
You hear that, Google? We've given you your next big idea.
No,
I'm
just
to the top of the search list.
I'm just going to write it for them and sell it to them. Actually, the way this is going to work is they're going to buy me out for writing a softcore porn ad recommendation system for Google. Anyway, Grid.
Yeah. Well, the first one was renowned for its damage physics.
Quite. I remember that way back when.
Well, I downloaded the demo for it. This was before I actually started racing.
Wait, is
games.
This the one that's like Mario Kart, but you call in air strikes instead of
no?
Blue
that's
shells?
Split second.
Oh, okay. I'll go back to my corner of uninterestedness.
Well, this one, what I would do in the demo is the green flag would drop. Everyone would go shooting off the line. I'd put mine in reverse and aim for somebody. Turn around and just take the track backwards just to see how much damage I could cost because the damage physics were so good. In my opinion, I don't know if they actually were. I never actually played the full game. But other than that, I've been playing a little bit of League of Legends. I have learned that I am much worse than I thought I was.
Which was bad.
Well, how did you find out that you were much worse than you already thought you were?
Have you played real people yet?
No, not yet.
Maybe
I'm
you'll
trying
feel
to
better
learn...
about yourself if you do.
I'm trying to get better about the last hits, which is why I've still been playing bots, is I want to get down the fundamental.
What is a last hit?
Okay, so you only get money for killing a minion if you land the killing blow.
Quite.
That's referred to as last hitting, because you got the last hit.
Gotcha. Well, unless you need the carry to get the money.
Well, yeah, if you're playing the support, you don't get last. You train yourself to not get last hit.
I'm not playing supports, though.
Okay.
The characters I've been playing have been either tanks or, in and of themselves, should be 80 carries.
And also, believe it or not, it's a lot harder to get last hits than it is to not get last hits. Although there is a lot of skill to being a support and getting minions into range for your carry to last hit. But that's the next level.
Yes, I'm working on just getting the last hits, and I'll worry about the rest later. The last game I've been playing is XCOM Enemy Within, which is an expansion to Enemy Unknown. And
where everyone's mystique. And
Tyler
already
and I are going to go take a smoke break while Zach gushes about this for a while.
Well, when we were coming down here, Jeremy got like the rundown, the half an hour of me gushing about this game. I love XCOM Enemy Unknown a lot. It is one of my top five games of all time, and XCOM Enemy Within made it better.
Before you get too far, did you ever play the original XCOM?
I did not. I've heard it's really good by a lot of people.
I've heard Enemy Unknown is the best spiritual successor to that, so.
Yeah, it's a little simpler, but at the same, they took out a lot of features to make the core of the game better, and it's 3D, and the story is it's not really new style of story, but it's a story style of video game story that I think lends itself well to video games and not a lot used. But anyway.
I really like the story that XCOM used because basically the story is a fairly old one. I mean, H.G. Wells first came up with it.
Aliens invade.
H.G. Wells' great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather first came up with
it. Well, yeah, I mean, aliens.
Yep.
But
we should build a wall.
We should build a wall.
I didn't mean to go there, but that was good.
Story of XCOM is aliens are invading Earth. You are in charge of XCOM. You don't find out the aliens' motivations until the last level, and even then it's kind of a head-scratcher. The story is just working your way up to being able to take on the aliens and kicking them off Earth. That's the story. Enemy Unknown did a great job of making that, and one of my favorite parts about it is the game doesn't wait for you to catch up. Didn't build laser guns? Well, the enemies still have big guys. Too bad. You can't hurt them, they kill you in two shots. Congratulations.
What were you researching if you didn't get armor or laser guns?
Yes.
Genetics.
Well, there are some things in the first game. If you, like, the pattern for the first two upgrades is usually going to be fairly set to, you know, the optimal thing, but
My problem in the first one was you have to invent faster jets to catch their UFOs, and I didn't do that for a really long time. So they had these UFOs I couldn't catch, destroying my satellites, pissing off my funders.
This one adds gene hack soldiers, and mech soldiers is like the big thing that you get access to, which are really fun.
Well, you were telling us about that one sniper who had an extra heart.
That wasn't all. She had enhanced brainwaves so that anytime someone tried to use a psychic power, they got feedback and got hurt. Her eyesight was improved, so she had better aim.
So she was all of the X-Men?
She had
and the Doctor?
She had the secondary heart. She could cloak just by hiding behind something. She was like a chameleon. And she could jump to the top of a building in a single bound.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Could she also generate giant cellophane S's?
Unfortunately, no.
Damn.
She had an Arctic fortress to totally just murder her opponents in.
Nope, but she was Russian, and her call sign was vampire.
Why was her call sign Vampire? Do the call signs actually have anything to do with anything?
Okay, no, it's just random. You can that's one of the things you can customize. You can customize name, first name, last name, nickname, what they look like.
Yeah, your nickname for mine was Trusty.
Whenever I have you guys, I usually just go in and switch to the nicknames I'm more familiar with, usually your gamer tags.
I would never let a military man call me New Type or Lord Hack. Maybe Lord Hack if I was a computer wizard on a TV show.
Or a guy with a really big axe.
What if you're a mecha soldier that had a flamethrower?
I don't mean to tangent away from you, but I really want like NCIS and S.H.I.E.L.D. and Arrow to replace the word hacker with magician. And just like, I found these dirt samples. I'm going to give them to my magician to see if she can do some magic and to figure something out. Because no hacker could do that. They must be some sort of wizard, and the computer is just their focusing element, and instead of saying spells, they have to type them really fast.
Yeah, well, TV hacking makes no sense. See, the thing is, you could actually hack stuff, but it would be really boring to watch, because it's basically like a guy sitting there going, click, type, 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 read some logs.
Well,
type,
the chick
type.
On Arrow is always finding criminals by, like, hacking into something.
Hacking into yes.
But like, here's some, literally the most recent episode of Arrow, he's like, here's some dirt samples, see what you can do with them. He's like, yeah, the mayor's hideout is right here. What?
And you're like, what?
I'm pretty sure hacking doesn't work that way.
Did you have some sort of mass spectrometer right there? I mean,
Arrow is rich like Batman. And he has an Arrow cave under his nightclub that his sister runs now, and I don't know how that works.
Magic.
Yes.
Because everything else appears to run on magic as well.
I mean, they're adding the Flash soon. I'm excited to see that.
Oh, really? As part of the show?
Yeah, they're going to backdoor pilot him. He's getting his own show, but he's going to show up on Arrow first. And Ra's al Ghul is the big bad of this season.
That's
but
actually
kind of
awesome.
Batman's bad guy.
Arrow has been ripping off Batman bad guys since he started. Literally, Arrow started as a Batman pastiche. That's why he's rich. He had an Arrow car and an Arrow jet and an Arrow cave and a sidekick named Speedy. And then he got political motivation.
I was gonna say, isn't he the Green Arrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Not just Arrow.
He's just the Arrow on the TV show because colors are lame, dude.
Oh, okay.
Black Canary is also just Canary.
Okay.
Is Speedy like wearing a grayscale costume instead of a red
one? He wears
one?
A red Abercrombie hoodie.
Actually, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Also, last Arrow thing. One of the more recent episodes totally had a bad guy whose power was he owned a grenade launcher. And he totally shot a grenade at Arrow, who arrowed it out of midair, causing it to explode to defeat him. It was amazing.
Well, I'm very glad none of the aliens had the ability to
own a grenade launcher.
No, shoot the grenades that my mech soldier was launching at them. Out of the sky.
A bow and arrow?
No, it doesn't have a bow and arrow. It just had a grenade launcher. But I still think my favorite thing about that game was the flamethrower. Because your mecha soldier, one of the things you can give him is a flamethrower. And it scared chrysalids away, which is always a plus.
What is a chrysalid?
A chrysalid is one of the alien types, and that is what causes zombies. If they kill somebody,
yeah,
they can come back as a zombie.
That's what killed you in my playthrough. Actually, technically, it killed you, made you a zombie, and then Ed killed you again.
But they also added two more alien enemies. The Mechtoid, which is the little crappy alien with a mech suit.
So it's like 90% of the aliens in Men in Black.
It's a pretty badass suit, though. And then the other one, I'm not sure exactly how to describe it, but it cloaks and then will reappear and try and suffocate your troopers.
With what?
Tentacles.
Okay.
Tentacle rape.
Oh, okay.
Latches on and they get suffocating. I don't know if
suffocating?
It's a condition that it gets applied. Okay. I'm not sure how long it takes for them to die because every time one of my characters has been hit by one of those things, my entire squad goes, they're in trouble. Kill it!
See, now I'm just imagining the alien Overmind going, more dots, more dots. Okay, stop dots.
Well, it gets even more entertaining when they reveal themselves and you have soldiers on Overwatch.
Yeah.
So it reveals itself, and then there's just this mass of fire that goes right into the thing and it just drops. They also made some of the abilities that were less than useful in the first one better, like covering fire. Did you ever take covering fire?
Yeah, actually, I thought that was a pretty good one.
They made it better. Because it used to trigger on gunfire.
Yeah. No, it'll trigger on movement, too.
It triggered on movement anyway, because that was what Overwatch did. But now they shoot first. Oh, that's cool. If they're on covering fire Overwatch, they will shoot first.
That seems overpowered, actually.
No, it was pretty good already because it gave them like a minus 20 to hit.
Well, Overwatch gives you a minus 20 if somebody is moving. What covering fire does is there's only one class that gets it. It's the support. So it's either covering fire or sprinter.
See, that the problem is that it's a competing ability is also good. But yeah, I really like covering fire.
I never took it because of the fact that it triggered after they shot, so it didn't seem like it was any use.
It gives them a minus 20 to hit, and it's percentile-based.
Oh, okay.
No, covering fire doesn't give the enemy a 20% miss chance.
I'm pretty sure it does.
No, it gives Overwatch gives you a penalty to shooting.
Yeah, I know it does.
And I think that gives you another penalty to shooting at somebody. I could be wrong, but it's been a while since I actually looked at that one, because I got locked into what they were doing. And then, did you ever take Up Close and Deadly for assaults?
I think so. Is that the one where your critical chance goes up the more enemies are near you?
No, that's aggression. The one I'm talking about is if they were in like melee with something, they would get bonuses to punching it for some stupid reason.
I don't remember.
I think it was Up Close and Deadly or Lightning Reflexes.
Okay, Lightning Reflexes is too good to not take.
They changed the other one so that now if you fire at something within 4 hexes, it does not cost an action.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Or within 4 squares, it doesn't cost an action.
Once per turn?
I think it is once per turn.
Because otherwise it would be broken. You would walk up, bang, 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 reload.
Wait, no, they have to, as long as it is the first action.
Okay.
It doesn't cost an action. But that makes it actually competing with Lightning Reflexes.
Yeah.
There's that, which was really cool. They also added another storyline with an anti-XCOM that you have to deal with that involves, like, covert operations and such.
Why would you want an anti-XCOM? The aliens are trying to destroy the planet.
They're using the tech, and they're using the same, like, gene hack stuff, and I can't remember exactly what they said the motivations were. I think I had something running exactly at the same time they started talking about it. But basically, it's one of those things that people are stupid.
I was going to say, why would you want to counteract the organization that's saving the planet?
To be fair, you kind of are supposed to be a secret organization. You're not advertising, which is why your base is a hole in the ground.
Because Hail Hydra!
Well, they never actually touch on that. They never say whether or not XCOM is a widely known organization. Actually, no, there is one moment where they do touch on that, because it's one of the council missions. You rescue the general, and he says something about how he's never seen gear like yours. It's not an open organization. People don't know you exist.
Speaking of XCOM, you guys still don't watch Extra Credits.
Occasionally.
They did an entire episode on whether we should be funding a real-life XCOM.
I saw that. I actually queued it up, but...
Huh? Didn't we mention that at one point?
Maybe. I mentioned it again, because we totally should.
Who says we aren't?
Good point, actually. Although... just because I can't prove that we aren't, doesn't mean that we are.
Oh, I got one last thing on XCOM, and then we can move forward, I think. My favorite part about this is one of the stupidest things, but it is the same thing that caused me to almost lose my shit when I first found out that in Halo 3 you can look down and see your feet. The soldiers from... it's not all of them, because there was a lot of them, but like my Russian soldier spoke Russian!
Oh, yeah, they didn't do that in the first game.
No, they all spoke with North American accents. They don't have different, like, British English and Australian English. It is English, French, German, Spanish, and Russian.
Still, the fact that they tried.
Guys. I'm like, that is awesome!
Why aren't we getting any Bushmen? I mean, come on. Bushmen want to defend the planet, right?
Oh, is that an Australian thing? I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, they don't. They don't speak a language that you or I would find comprehensible.
It has a lot of, right?
Yeah.
Glottal stops, that's what you call those?
Well,
in language, that's what you call
them. Well, yeah, glottal stop is actually a thing that you do with the back of your throat. The clicking noise is something else. So,
okay.
I took linguistics, can't remember what it is.
So, Zach, you've been playing League of Legends, right?
Yes.
You haven't got a chance to play Vi yet, right?
Vi, no, that's the...
Yeah, her selection quote is, punch first. Ask questions while punching, which brings us to today's game, Punch Out.
Alas, you don't get the awesome sauce big gauntlets that she has.
You didn't beat the game. How do you know?
Point taken.
Punch Out is a classic NES game, remembered really well for some reason. Maybe it's the Mike Tyson connection.
I think it's partially because it's one of the few decent games for the NES.
One of the few boxing games that's been available for a long time.
You say few, there are at least 2 dozen good NES games.
Really?
Castlevania, Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Bros. Super Mario Bros. 3.
You would count Mega Man.
Mega Man.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about... Oh, Mega God, Man there's 2. So many Mega Mans. Okay, yeah. Point conceded.
Victory is mine!
I like how the proper pluralization of Mega Man is Mega Mans.
No, it's Mega's Man.
Oh, man, I really want a Megas game where you, like, pilot
I
Megas.
Want Megas to come back. I mean, it had the 5 minutes till the end of the episode button.
Megas XLR, if you haven't seen it, is worth your time.
If they would release it on DVD, I would totally buy it.
I thought they did.
I don't think so. I've
Maybe
never
it's
seen
Freakazoid
it.
I'm thinking of, because Freakazoid and Megas and Darkwing Duck were always the things the internet was asking for. And I know they did two of them, and I know Darkwing Duck was one of them. Maybe
I haven't
was
seen
the other.
Megas. I might look for see if I can find it, but I haven't seen it on DVD. But I would totally buy that.
It's Stephen Blum and Bruce Campbell. What more could you ask for?
Is it really?
Yeah. Stephen Blum plays like the sidekick character.
I can't, Jamie?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other guy is Coop?
Yeah. And Bruce Campbell plays the MODOK parody that shows up a couple times.
Oh,
like magnanimous!
Oh,
it was amazing.
Yeah, that guy. But that show was just amazing.
Well, it was genre savvy. It was a parody of anime of everything,
mech stuff for a lot of it. But it was
a parody of Collateral Damage.
All I wanted was a slushy.
The secondary control bridge. I'm working on it. DDR pad.
I like the karaoke one that he had installed in the chest.
Don't remember that, but...
It's one of the ones where the MODOK parody guy shows up.
It's been a while since I've seen any Megas.
He checks up the volume and starts singing, and it destroys, like, everything.
I like the one where he, like, takes the Power Rangers and just, like, slams their individual things on the robot.
I'm a singing mechanical fish. Let me entertain you.
Megas is amazing. It also has a lot of punching.
It does. Just like Punch-Out.
So Punch-Out is a game you can't pause, which was pretty disorienting.
Yeah, I tried to pause it the first time and accidentally uppercutted.
Yeah, I can't do it. I'm like, I need to pause because I need to check something on my computer. Nope.
At least on the Wii, you can hit the home button, and that'll pause it because it pauses the Wii.
For some reason, it didn't occur to me to do that.
Yeah, my dad kept calling because he was stuck in traffic somewhere, and so I kept like, start, why is no pause? But because... Start gets you an uppercut if you have a star, which you get by interrupting people. But we're ahead of ourselves. Punch-Out is a game with simple controls. Left and right dodge, there's no difference, except what direction you dodge, but...
The animation is different. It has no practical effect.
A is punch left, B is punch right.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought A was punch right and B was punch left.
Just to be really confusing?
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Also, you can punch up by holding up.
Yeah, up in a punch button lets you punch them in the face. And back lets you guard. You can only guard certain attacks.
99% of the time, you're going to be punching them in the face. You can guard jabs is what you guard. Any uppercuts? For some reason, Lil Mac is like, uppercut? I don't know how to block that.
Soda Popinski, you actually can block his uppercuts. It's the other way around with him, but you can't block his jabs.
Huh, that's odd.
But anyway, yeah.
You play a 17-year-old lightweight who's like 110 pounds or something like that.
You have a health bar and a stamina bar. I think it's important we mention the stamina bar.
Oh, yes. Also, the star bar, which we mentioned earlier.
That's where Tom Hiddleston eats. I couldn't think of a celebrity. Damn it.
I don't even know who Tom Hiddleston is.
Loki.
Oh, yeah. You've told me this like 12 times now, and I cannot remember this guy's name.
Oh, I like his name a lot.
Well, Jeremy made a joke I didn't get, which made me really happier than it should have been on the way down here. I was talking about the gene hacks soldiers. Yeah.
And I asked if he called them Gene Hackmen. and Zach was like, what?
Well, see, and then he put him on a spaceship to go fight the aliens in space.
No, you never go into space.
See this?
Punch that out. Was... You have a stamina bar. It's measured in hearts. You get different stamina for each fight.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Blocking takes some stamina. Getting punched in the face takes some stamina. And punching and getting blocked takes some stamina. If you run out, you can't punch until you dodge a certain number of punches from the enemy.
Which varies depending on the enemy. So you turn bright pink when you run out of stamina. So I have a really bad habit of not paying attention to that gauge very often. But yeah. It's pretty obvious when you run out and have to go into dodge mode. So
dodgy.
So this game really punishes you for making mistakes. You lose both health and your ability to fight back.
To be fair, all the enemies have ridiculously wide tells. So
as you go on, the tells get smaller and smaller, but yes, it's a game about recognizing tells and reacting quickly. Basically just a muscle memory game. Not really even a reflex. It's about knowing what they're going to do and reacting to the patterns.
So I do well with reacting. I've never been good at finding patterns and stuff, though.
Maybe that's why you don't like Zelda, because that's all that game is.
It's a thing where...
I never said I don't like Zelda.
You have before.
I said I don't like the Legend of Zeldas that we played, but like later ones, like Ocarina of Time, I didn't.
I thought you gave up on Ocarina because you found it incomprehensible.
He had trouble in Jabba's belly, and I can...
Yeah.
I don't remember there was actually a longer story. It wasn't just Jabba's belly. There was something else that happened as well at the same time.
You should play Skyward Sword. It's pretty cool.
But, I had a point.
About recognizing patterns and punching people
yeah.
for them.
Okay, the game is boxing, so it's in rounds. There are 3 3-minute rounds, and because of that, it's not even really patterns. They'll do the same thing throughout the round, and their strategies change up from round to round. It's their first round strategy is always the same. Their second round strategy is always the same, and their third round strategy is always the same.
Well,
they do react differently to a lot of them. Have a certain thing they'll do as soon as you knock them down, but you can always tell what they're going to do, and it's not even really patterns as it's a script.
Well, that's what most people think boxing is. but
I thought professional wrestling definitely, but. Boxing?
Well, some people people think boxing is also
corrupted/slash
scripted.
It didn't used to be. I haven't watched a boxing match in years.
Used to be either. And the reason they made wrestling fake is because that's a lot more entertaining.
That is true.
Because sometimes wrestling matches would be over in like 12 seconds.
Did anybody get to the end of the third round?
Yeah. I beat the second fight with Piston Honda. I won by TKO. TKO. Decision.
I wasn't sure if they had that in there.
Yeah, your points are entirely to decide who wins by decision. They don't actually keep score for both players. Each fighter has a set score you have to beat to win by decision.
Ah.
The first match I had with German von Wiener German.
Von Kaiser!
Yeah, it's German von Kaiser. But
Kaiser!
I actually lost that match by decision.
Yeah,
oh, really?
I lost, I think, my first Piston Honda fight by decision. I lost one of the early fights by decision. You can also actually can KO guys. It's way easier to get a TKO. But
yeah, I think it's...
What's the difference between a TKO and a KO?
TKO is if you get knocked down 3 times. KO,
in one round.
Yeah, in one round. KO is if you time out the 10
seconds.
Because
that's what I did to Glass Joe, is I TKO'd him.
It's the easiest way to win most matches.
KOs will normally happen if you just knock him down a lot over the course of 3 rounds.
And use a lot of haymakers.
Their health bar diminishes
each time
they get back up.
Yeah, and if you get 3 knockdowns throughout the 3 rounds, each one is harder to come back from. You hit A or B rapidly to stand back up. Go Power Rangers.
Little Matt cannot take punches, but he, like most of these guys, outweigh him by 200 pounds or so.
So he is fighting in the wrong division.
Well,
he's a featherweight fighting heavyweight.
I mean, at the end, you fight totally not Mike Tyson if you're playing the port, but Mike mother Tyson if you're playing the original version. And his uppercuts one-hit KO you because he's Mike Tyson.
And you weigh maybe 120 soaking wet.
You're 107, according to the stat screen.
But, like, Glass Joe isn't that heavy.
Yeah,
just
only like 140 or something.
It's just this weird ranking system where when you win the first title, you get to go up to the next one, and then you get to go up to the next one and fight a bunch of people you already faced.
Well, there's like King Hippo weighs like... Oh, actually, he weighs ... But I'm assuming he weighs pretty close to like 400 pounds or something like that. Like,
you can only
sumo!
Only hurt him when he opens his mouth, and you have to punch him in the mouth.
And then he drops his pants, and he gets too distracted pulling his pants back up to block the punches to his gut.
So let's go you start with Glass Joe. He sucks. I don't even remember anything about him except his name is Glass Joe.
He does a really obvious uppercut with his right hand, which would be left on your screen a lot. He also does a fairly decent jab with his left, but he does it infrequently. You can also interrupt both of these for all the haymaker points.
Then Von Kaiser!
Who's actually remarkably good form.
I don't remember him at all either, except his name is Von Kaiser.
I beat him.
He does a lot of jabs with his left and occasionally does an uppercut, usually when you run out of stamina.
Then Piston Honda, who's the first person to have like a special move, where he does this dance and then, like, jabs you four times.
You can punch him in the face right before he jabs you, and it knocks him out immediately.
Yeah, or you can also block a jab and punch him between them for the same effect.
So I didn't know you can punch between them. If I couldn't hit him the first time, I just block all of them.
Spoilers, you have rematches with people. His second fight.
Oh, God.
The way to beat him is you block those jabs and then get in four punches, and then he does the second jab anyway, so you can block that and do four punches.
Okay, so that's, Pissin' Honda is probably the first hard challenge in this game. He took me a while to beat.
I did not beat him.
If you do beat him, you get a sweet training montage that's two frames of sprite animation with a scrolling background that is New York.
With the Punch-Out theme that most people think of, which is a pretty good song, so it's weird that that's the only place it's there, but...
Yeah, actually, generally, the music, the sound effects in this game, I really like. Like, the little ridiculously stereotypical of their respective nations music that they do for each person.
Even like Mario, who's the referee's like counting noise, he doesn't have like a 1, 2, 3, but he has like a counting.
He goes,
yeah.
Was it Mario?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mario was the ref, at least in the...
Well, I know I've heard about that. I just wasn't paying attention.
So
I believe you, though.
I don't remember who the first person and the second... Oh, no, it's Von Frenchie.
No, it's he's Spanish, actually.
Yeah, he's got rose in his teeth. Oh, Don Flamenco, who's like, he will egg you on and then do a counterattack that you have to dodge and...
However, if you alternate your punch, which direction... Okay, so most people, almost everyone in this game, you're going to want to punch in the head. There are very
few... The first,
few...
like, two enemies, and you normally want to punch in the gut, and a lot of people's super attacks can be interrupted with punches in the guts. But
that's the way you beat the Raging Bull, is a punch to the gut. But yeah. This guy, if you alternate which direction to come from and hit him in the head over and over, he will not ever get it or interrupt your punches, so you can KO him with one combo.
Yet somehow in the world circuit, he's above both Pissin' Honda and Raging Bull.
With basically the same...
I didn't actually get that far, so I don't know. But
me neither.
So then you fight King Hippo, who, as we talked about earlier, is this big fat guy who can only be hurt by being punched in the mouth.
Butterbean.
And then punched on the Band-Aid, which happens to be over his belly button.
My one weakness.
As you get on and the ways you beat enemies become more specific, in between rounds, your coach, whose name is Doc, I think, will give you advice on it, or the enemies will basically give away their weakness by saying, I just bought extra large gym shorts. I sure hope no one punches me in the mouth and makes me drop them.
King Hippo is the most like video game boss-like, but I'm glad you brought up the training section, because two things. One, you can hit select once per fight to heal during the in-between.
Oh, can you?
Yes. Thank you, instructions, for telling me this. And, like, it'll change, like, you know how he's, like, rubbing your shoulder?
Yeah.
He'll start doing it super fast. Also, totally his advice one time was like, I need help, Doc. Join the Nintendo Fun Club today, Mac.
To which Mac replies, God damn it, Doc. I'm in the middle of a match.
Well, that's great advice, Doc. How's it going to help me here?
Then you fight Tiger Guy. Who
has the coolest special attack.
His dad was a magician, so he can teleport. And he has, like, a teleport punch. I don't remember how you beat that.
Oh, the teleport? I just block the punches in succession, and then he gets dizzy at the end, and you can knock him over with one punch after that.
Okay.
He is the easiest character for me to get extra haymakers from, because all of his attacks are super easy to interrupt.
Oh, yeah, and then he's got, like, the thing where he, like, crouches down and...
Yeah,
goes
he does
the
an
other direction,
from one side or the other.
Yeah.
He also, his tell before he jabs is he's wearing a turban, and the gem on his turban blinks.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. It, like, glows for a second. Pissin' Honda, in his second fight, wiggles his eyebrows at you when he's going to do his jab.
Yeah, he does that in the first fight, too.
Oh, okay.
He does it much faster in the second one, though. The first thing both Alex and I said when we first got to him, we're like, man, that German guy was really German. And then Pissin' Honda comes up. We're like, man, this guy looks really... Oh, God, look at his eyebrows.
So then's Raging Bull, who's probably the second really hard fight, since he's the second champion.
I got stuck on him last night. I didn't beat him until today. So
yeah, I had to take a break before I beat him, too.
He's pretty damn hard. He does this, like, weird, like... He kind of like a speed bag punch before he actually does a jab, and for some reason I find that super distracting, and I can't, like, I'm like, oh, look at the thing he's doing with his hands, and then he punches me in the face.
You're like, oh, God!
When he has two uppercuts. One of them he goes off to the side, and he comes up basically like everyone else in the game uppercuts, but he has another one that I can't really see because he crouches in front of Mac, and I never see him doing this.
You can punch him in the chest when he... does yeah. that and get a star.
But he crouches in front of Mac and then comes up after like a half a second with an uppercut that does like half your health bar.
Also, he has a charge where he gets back and charges at you. And if you can hit him at just the right moment, it's an instant knockdown.
And if you don't hit him,
you're dead.
Yeah, either he will hit you, or if you dodge him, he just keeps doing it over and over and over until the time runs out. But if you hit him, he falls over, and that's one of his knockdowns for the round. So I got really good at the timing on that today on my phone, as opposed to with an actual controller. So I'm not really sure what the difference was there. So
yeah, and then you fight Piston Honda a second time. He's harder.
I couldn't get past him. He kicked my ass, and I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Then so to Popinski, which is as far as I got. He's got, like, a hook that looks like an uppercut, but has a really awkward timing, and his uppercuts are really fast. That's basically all for Soda Pop. He also has a jab that's untelegraphed, but he almost never uses it.
What? Who comes after that? I know Don Flamenco is somewhere in the list.
Yeah, you fight Don Flamenco and Raging Bull again.
And then the dream!
Sandman.
Huh?
Sandman. He's... Mr. Sandman is a boss. And
oh,
then,
really?
Yeah. And then there's someone who's the champion of the last circuit. I don't remember who. And then you fight Totes Not Mike Tyson.
Gotcha.
Mr. Dream.
I wonder...
Watch
like,
out for your ears.
When did they make the decision to not be paying Mike Tyson royalties? Because I know...
It was after a specific loss he had, but I don't remember who to.
There are two copyright dates on the version that I have. One's 87 and one's 90.
And it might be 1990 is when.
Did they drop him that early? I thought
maybe.
It was
I don't know.
Recently, but he also hasn't been boxing recently, so.
No, he's been in The Hangover instead. You said you really liked Punch-Out, right?
I do. I found this game way more addicting than I should have. Alex was surprised I played it as long as I did.
It's pretty fundamentally a video game, right? I mean, it's just a reflex test, but it's very gamey, and it has nice feedback.
This is one of those games that simultaneously simple enough and complicated enough that I put it in the realm of excellent arcade game. Similar to Gradius, this is probably one that I'm going to play over and over from now on. So,
for whatever reason, I actually know why the reason was I couldn't really get into it. It's because XCOM, but...
XCOM!
I also just
going
didn't
to
have
eat this mutant fish.
A big desire. It was like, okay, well, this is boxing. I was talking to Jeremy a little bit about this. And I think the reason is because the only other boxing game I've ever really played came way after it, and that was Fight Night Round 3, and I was expecting to have a lot of the same things that you have in that game.
It's weird that you even characterize this as a boxing game.
I don't.
Because it is, but that it's real. It's a game called Punch-Out. It's about punching dudes, and yeah, it's got a boxing framework. It's got rounds, it's got TKOs, it's got win by decision, and that's all interesting.
It's really a reflex game.
Yeah.
More, which really fighting games are reflex games to some extent, but
no,
this one has no strategy.
Huh. I don't do a lot of the games I play aren't really reflex. They're more just reactions rather than trying to figure out the pattern and react. It's making the reactions.
It's similar to Castlevania in some ways. I think Castlevania is a lot more complex because there's a lot more things coming at you and you have to think about what you're going to do and go through. So, but on some level, Castlevania is about timing things right.
Well, that's why I like a lot of earlier games, because I really enjoy timing games, and that's really what, like, 90% of 2D platformers are basically just timing games, so.
I'm not a big timing person. I'm very cerebral when I'm playing games, even though it doesn't look like it half the time.
Well, I agree with you, but I really hate push-the-button in rhythm games. Like, you know that
and
part...
And this is one of those, I think.
Well, not really even. You know that part in Paper Mario where you have to, like, have Princess Peach bake a cake?
Yeah.
I was stuck on it for 12 hours.
No, because you have to count to, like, exactly 5 seconds
no,
or something like
you
that.
You have to hit A in a certain rhythm. If you hit it too fast, it doesn't count because they wanted to negate cheating controllers and they were a little overzealous with it. And if you hit it too slow, you're obviously...
not hitting it fast enough.
Yeah, and it's just a thing I can't do.
Well, that's remember that one of the heart pieces in Majora's Mask is time exactly 10 seconds for the postman? I can get that usually after 2 tries.
See, I feel like you can do that, because I can count to 10 and have it react, you know, count 1 a second, but...
It is exactly 10 seconds,
Once
though.
Button presses become involved, that's where I trip up. I can't do that in the rhythm. Like, even
gotcha.
Guitar Hero, I'll often get off rhythm for, like, 3 or 4 notes and have to...
Huh.
Reestablish your bass groove.
Yeah.
Your bass groove?
My bass groove.
Is that
I'm
where
attacking
like,
mechanical bass.
Bass.
Let me play music for you.
So... I can definitely see why you wouldn't be interested in this game. It's really simple. And I cannot explain why I like this so much, but it appeals to me on some sort of visceral level.
It definitely has the, oh, let me try that again thing. And one thing I think hurts it is it has codes to go to each tournament, but
they,
by default...
keep the number of times you've lost as part of that.
Well, yeah, and but also if you lose, you have to start over on that tournament. And I think playing it on an emulator or like the Wii U's emulator where if you lose a match, you can immediately restart it is much, much more satisfying.
I agree. I played it without using any save states or anything last night. And so I happened to not do very well on my run through the first tournament, ran out of all my continues because you only get like three continues.
Yeah, you only get three retries.
And so when I got to the last match where I kept losing to the bull, one loss sent me back to the very beginning. So I got really good at beating the first three guys up to him, but...
Yeah, and there is something to be said for that. I love in Castlevania getting better at something by repetition. I even didn't super begrudge Star Wars the first couple of times it made me restart because I was way better at the stuff, but...
So in terms of... if we're going to be comparing this to Castlevania, Castlevania is clearly the superior game.
Yeah.
Like...
But I feel like the joy I get from Punch-Out is similar.
Yeah. No, it's also just a little bit goofy, like...
Just a little bit?
Yeah, just little bit.
It's second on the goofometer after Dodgeball, comma, Super.
Well, because that one doesn't have... This one doesn't have... Stalin
as the final
watching
boss.
You.
Devil? Ah, now I'm going to punch out Devil Stalin.
That would be pretty awesome.
But you have to fight him on top of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, and then when you KO him, the wall crumbles down.
Oh, man.
That would be awesome.
You hear that, Nintendo? Remake Punch-Out so that that's a thing.
So next time on Last Time, the Berlin Wall shall fall. Anything else to say about Punch-Out before we wrap up?
It's a fun game. It's got decent sound effects. It's got goofy caricatures, even if they are super racist. And, I don't know. It's fun. It's worth giving a shot, although it's, what, $5 on the Virtual Console?
Yeah.
May not be worth $5.
I kind of think it is.
I would probably say it is. I wouldn't say that they're racist depictions. I don't think there was
genuine
hate behind it.
Vodka
I think it's one of those things. If there's not any genuine hatred behind it,
there is that, but
that's
a sketchy line.
It is. So I'm not sure if I like if this were a game made today, this would be one of those things that I would pay maybe a dollar for on the app store of some sort.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time justifying $5 for a game this simple, but. On the other hand, it is a lot of fun, and I'm definitely going to replay it, so it may not be for everyone, but it's definitely worth giving a shot if you've never played it before.
Maybe. Mike Tyson likes it.
Does he?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, like, he was doing an interview, and he said, yeah, I never played that, and so someone got an NES and put it in, and he started playing. He's like, hey, this is fun.
Well, I didn't know what I endorsed all those years ago.
Take that, George Foreman. You don't have any video games. You just got grills.
Mad grills.
So speaking of mad grills,
oh,
Zach.
Wait, really quick. While we're talking about grills.
You ruined my transition.
Oh, but this is so good. I saw a thing that, okay, so Bear Grylls did an AMA on Reddit the other day, and someone asked him, how many bears could Bear Grylls grill if Bear Grylls could grill bears? And his official response was, I, Bear Grylls, could grill only one bear because I only have one bear grill.
So, speaking of ruining my transitions, Zach, what are we playing next week?
I think we're going to attempt buy low, sell high, and we're going to go with Uncharted Waters, New Horizons.
Oh my god, you guys, I started this game already. It's so good. It's so good. I also played some Assassin's Creed 4. They're very similar. This game's so good.
I think
guys,
I found Jeremy's new favorite
guys,
game.
Guys, it's so good. Trust me. It's a little arcane, like you have to learn a new language called Uncharted Waterorsian, but it's so good.
So next time on Last Time, Jeremy's new favorite game.
So good.
We're going to be trading all the stuff.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2013.
All of the video games and other media mentioned herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. And if you want to contact one of us individually, I am Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or Jeremy, GEREMY@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can visit our show page if you don't want to hit the blog at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to visit the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And we've got an RSS feed. You should probably click on it, or one of the other buttons on there.
We're also on iTunes.
And the Twitters.
Twitter is at LTOVG.
Unlike all the games we play on this show, we cannot be emulated.
So I would generally prefer that no one is an asshole. I think if no one was an asshole, we could live in my utopian society that doesn't exist because people are assholes.
Yeah, but so, you know me.
But so you're not an asshole, you're just sardonic.